Connell McShane, anchor at News Nation. You can watch him on Comcast Channel 223 starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Connell, welcome back to the show. How are you?
You know, I noticed you teased my appearance before the last commercial, John, by saying one of the great anchors at News Nation. I said, that's great. That's so nice of John. So I said, well, who else does he like? Maybe he's watching Marnie Hughes now, or a Nicole Burley fan, or likes to watch Elizabeth Vargas or Cuomo later. But then immediately during the commercial, I started thinking it would be more interesting to see if you said I'm only one of the great anchors, who's not on your list? Is there any, you know, do you have like a list of favorites and not so favorites?
What a terrible question to ask me. My friend George Sandley will come up to me a lot, though, and he'll go, Cuomo. And he loves to just call him Cuomo. The way O'Reilly does. He says, Cuomo, that guy's great. I love Cuomo.
I think Cuomo's fine with that, too. I think I call him Cuomo. So he's fine with being called Cuomo.
The president is trying to figure out what the U.S. position should be in Iran. And Israel, for that matter, he said that he's going to take a couple weeks to figure it out. What should we know about that story today?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he said. I mean, he says that all the time. You know, anytime he's asked about something, I saw a bunch of clips about that last night that, well, we'll see in about 2 weeks. Or he says it about all kinds of different issues. But, you know, he gave himself tons of wiggle room. I don't think he really said anything with that comment other than, you know, I'm not going to decide right this very minute. But because basically what they said is within 2 weeks. So there could be planes in the air right now, technically, and he still would be, you know, within his rights to have said what he said. You know, I guess he's leaving it open. A lot of people think for some sort of a last minute deal if Iran comes to the table and waves the white flag in Geneva today. I know they're having a meeting with the Europeans. Then maybe. But, you know, that's all I would say. I think there's still a push, certainly from Netanyahu, to get Trump involved, at least in strikes on the nuclear side at Forno that we've all been talking about, buried inside that mountain. But, you know, Trump buys himself a little bit of time. I know the market kind of liked it. The oil market did, at least. Oil came back down because I guess their take, the traders' take, is that Trump's trying to find a way not to do this. In other words, trying to find something other than direct military involvement. I'm not sure if that's true, but I think that's what the trader take is.
Yeah, it's sort of like his take on TikTok. He just keeps delaying a decision,
right,
which becomes the decision. And frankly, if by default, yeah, then we don't aid Israel any more than we are in the invasion or the war in Iran, it's not an invasion by Israel, but if we don't get any more involved, I, you know, by hook or crook, that's fine with me. I'm one raising my hand saying, I don't want us to be involved in dropping bombs on Iran. I don't know that we need to use that 30,000-pound bomb. It seems like Israel has managed the situation pretty well right now. They have short-circuited diplomacy for reasons that aren't clear to me. Who knows? Do you have any sense of what fruit that would bear, the negotiations that have been cut off with the U.S.?
I guess we'll never know for sure. I mean, some people would say that and Trump's point of view on this was that, hey, we did give them a couple of months, you know, the 60 days, and they didn't do anything. You know, I was talking to Kurt Volker a little bit about it yesterday. He's a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. And his kind of larger point was, if you don't have an actual threat of involvement in terms of military involvement, if people don't really think you're going to do it, then getting them to do what you're going to want them to do diplomatically is much more difficult. So even if Trump's main goal here is, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt because this is his approach to foreign policy in general, if his main goal is to avoid war, I mean, that's usually been his approach if,
yeah,
you look at his time in politics, then he needs to have a serious threat of war or of military action in order to accomplish his diplomatic goals. That was Ambassador Volker's point. So I think that's on the table now. I don't think that he won't act, but remember, he'll wait. And people got on him the other day, but let's, you know, sometimes this is the right thing to do. He'll wait literally to the last minute. In his first term, he had planes in the air to strike Iran and called them back. So, you know, I think he would do it if he had to, but the Trump is looking for a way out of this. But the only way to really get a real way out of it and really accomplish what you want, which is to do away with the Iranian nuclear program and I guess ballistic missiles as well, is to have them think that you really would, you know, carry through, that you're not bluffing with military action.
Israel's attacks have gone well enough that the president has gone from saying they to we. He,
yeah,
is sort of endorsing it, at least, and maybe opting us in if we so choose. But again, I'll I think if I put that out on my little news click here, most people would say, let Israel fight this conflict. Let's not us fight this conflict. And interestingly, there's plenty of conservative voices in this country, major ones that agree with that. That's not very thin ice. Meanwhile, here in Chicago, Connell, we are wondering if and when we are going to see a stepped up ICE series of events, and we have not yet. ICE has been in Chicago. Mike Johnson was in Chicago lending moral support to the agents, but we haven't seen something like maybe they have seen in Los Angeles. Do you know, are we going to get stepped up actions here?
Well, we've had all kinds of, as you know, different directives coming out of the White House on how they're going to approach this. And I think we're supposed to. But then again, that could have changed 10 minutes ago. And I think that's part of the problem right now for the Trump White House on immigration. And they're starting to lose some of the public support. I mean, people, again, I think we've talked about this in the past, are largely supportive of the overall goals, which were stated at the outset of the administration, which is, hey, get the worst. The worst will be first in terms of going out. We're going to go after the criminals, and we're going to make sure that they're deported, okay? We're going to shut down the border to make sure fewer people come in illegally. Okay, accomplished. But now when you go to this next phase of this, and when you start putting quotas in place, I talked to the former ICE director John Sandweg a number of times, including on last night's show about this, that's when you set yourself up for a tough situation, because now you're trying to meet the numbers with the rest, and you're going to Home Depot parking lots, and you're cracking down on workplaces. Trump was all over that poll that Fox put out earlier showing that 53% of voters disapproved of his handling of immigration. And the reason he's so upset about that is, you know, this was his big issue, this and the economy, and he's now, as they say, underwater on both of those issues. A little surprising when you think about it, especially when it comes to immigration.
Still, Tom Homan said this week that while they're going after the worst criminals first, if you are just here and you've worked for last 20 years at a store or restaurant, if they find you, they will grab you. They will deport you. Officially, that is still the administration's position. It seems to me like on immigration, it's two fronts. It's at the border, stop new people from coming in, and then let's expel the people that don't have documentation here. I don't normally quote the president's tweets or posts on his platform because they just silo everybody, but I'll just read to you what he posted today briefly. Zero border crossings for the month for Trump versus 60,000 for sleepy, crooked Joe Biden, a man who lost the 2020 presidential election by a landslide. Biden was grossly incompetent, and the 2020 election was a total fraud. The evidence is massive and overwhelming. A special prosecutor must be appointed. This cannot be allowed to happen. Again, he goes on. So in that beginning where he just wants to remind people that he's doing a good job of immigration, his hatred for Joe Biden runs so long and deep, he derails his own post. He's waxing on about Joe Biden, and he's still championing that he won that election. I don't know what else to make of that.
The stuff about the election is obviously nonsense. I think you're right about the obsession to some degree with Biden's policies. If Biden said it must be wrong. I mean, he even took a shot at the Juneteenth holiday yesterday. Why? Well, I'm sure in part because Biden is the one that's put it in place as a federal holiday in 2021. On immigration, I would say that there is majority support, like I said earlier, for what he's doing at the border,
Absolutely.
Tightening out at the border.
Yep.
And there was widespread criticism, deservedly so, I would say, of Biden early in his administration for not doing that. And you could argue the reverse, by the way, of our conversation now, that maybe the Biden administration, this is speculative, but maybe the Biden administration was so focused early on being anti-Trump, anything Trump was doing was wrong, that they allowed too many people to come in, and now you get Trump going the other way, which I think is when politicians sometimes get in trouble. The problem for Trump right now is the how, right? So people support his actions at the border, but how he's enforcing immigration policy in the country, again, going to these workplaces, farms, and Home Depots, that's where the issues come in for the public.
Hey, listen, Connell, we've got to wrap this up. I'm late already, but you are going to do a John Stossel special. John Stossel, Give Me Liberty. It's this Sunday at 6 o'clock Chicago time.
Yep.
John Stossel, one of America's most famous outspoken journalists. Why are you focusing on John Stossel?
He's an unpredictable guy, in short. He's a thought-provoking guy, but he's a libertarian. He'd been presenting issues years ago that everybody said were way out of the mainstream, and now, to some extent here in the U.S. and in places like Argentina, they're not so out of the mainstream anymore. So we thought that was interesting. And the final thing I would say, He's unpredictable on a lot of things, including Trump. He agrees with him on a bunch of issues, disagrees with him on others. So for that reason, I think it's worth tuning in because it'll make you think.
It's the kind of thing you would get at News Nation. John Stossel this Sunday, June 22nd, 6 o'clock our time. Okay, buddy. Nice job. We'll be watching.
All right, John. Always appreciate it.